everyone, and welcome to Badminton Lights Out, a feature of the Badminton Podcast,
where we take you behind the scenes of high performance badminton.
I'm Gronja.
And I'm Justine. Welcome to the pod. So Gronski, long time no see.
Yes, actually not that long since I just got back from a visit to New Zealand, my first time over there since before the pandemic. So it was great to be back there and see all you guys again.
Yeah, it was pretty hectic. You were here for such a short time. And then like, I think most of the time I only really saw you during trainings and I was like busy for work and then had a little bit of catch up, but it was nice. Oh no, I forgot to give you your snacks.
What snacks?
No!
What snacks?
You know which one I'm talking about. The chocolate one.
The Fruzeball snacky.
I'm guessing you'll have to career it over. How did you find your time in New Zealand? What'd you do? What was your highlight?
It's just so good, like being back around my boyfriend Micah and his family and having his mom take care of us, like cook us dinner, do our washing. It's like I just have no life admin, so I love that. And I was able to maintain my training. So I joined all the national team training sessions, which was really good. Your coach Rekha included me well. And I really love the like your guys' kind of training environment and the banter that you guys have. So that was always fun. And yeah. Nice to have you picking me up and dropping me off for every session as well.
Yeah, well, it was funny because it was raining so hard and Micah's drive is so freaking long. And honestly, if people just knew how steep it is as well and how narrow, there was no way Dylan was going to drive down that. So I was like, sorry, Grandma, you're just going to have to wait outside down your drive.
I know. So I was walking up this steep drive, like in the rain at 5:30 a.m. And it was like 3:30 a.m. in Australian time with a time difference. I was like half asleep. This is like under the stars. I'm like, what is happening? But it's actually been good coming back now to my morning training here because I'm like, my sleep routine is set a bit earlier and I'm waking up pretty fresh. So it was a good transition.
It was like a reset. It was good. It's good as well that you enjoyed our trainings because it was kind of messy when you were here because there was a lot of like extra stuff, like because Anona and Ollie just got, you know, the announcement that they got to go to Comm Games. So there was media over, and then Rekha had some workshops. Our coach had some workshops to go to. So it was a bit all over the place. And then also our courts at one stage was really slippery. So
yeah, I was saying how it was like when we were at Uber Cup in Thailand, the training courts, because it was so humid there, we couldn't actually train pretty much because they were so slippery and we couldn't move. And I was like, what, you guys get this in New Zealand?
I think it actually only happens in Auckland because Auckland is like the warmest and it's so humid. It's just gross. And that's why the wooden courts get all weird. But good to hear that you enjoyed our banter and our trainings. We do have morning banter a lot.
Which brings us into today's episode where we'll be discussing how to communicate with your coach and also your partners if you are in a doubles partnership as well. And yeah, we can even discuss how you guys have built kind of a good culture in the New Zealand national team that has its more recent build up as well.
Yeah, I think the culture here is really good. It's definitely helped us improve as a team because, you know, in New Zealand, we're not very spoiled with like top players in Japan, you know, how like top 10. So maybe like at the start, one of two of us were like, okay at feeding, and by one I mean like Ollie or something, and even then Ollie wasn't here, so I think that Rekha was in for a shock when she found that like none of us could feed. So we really, I think the whole squad really did grow together, and that's credits to Rekha for helping us learn how to actually train properly. And you know, badminton, it's so easy for it to be an individual sport because, you know, it's just you or like your partner, but you really just can't do it alone. It honestly takes a whole squad or like a village. So I don't know how it worked, it probably, we were just stuck together in lockdown and all that. So that's probably it. But yeah, like I said, that genuinely takes a team, and you could only prove so much, you know, doing footwork and hitting against the wall. Like, sure, that's like your individual skill, but so many factors in badminton about like tactics and like moving around the court. So huge. So grateful for the team. And like I said, I give so much credit to our coach because she feels very motherly and she feels very approachable. And I think that's like important in growing as a player and like just getting better in this sport. And because if you don't enjoy your environment to train in, then it's genuinely not fun. And it's really hard to improve because you don't want to show up to training and be like, oh, I don't want to be here. You know, like you want to show up and have fun and play your best. So credits to Tech for building that environment. And also the team. I think they, good job on them.
Yeah.
But yeah, what about you? What's it like? Because I got to join your training sessions right before Oceania's, and that was fun. We played like some card games to warm up, and that got real competitive. It was fun. Jeff is also a good coach. So what about you? How do you communicate with your coach? Like, I think that's our topic today, right? How do we communicate with our coach better?
Yeah. So I think the things to note is that like every coach is different, and especially having trained in different countries, you notice between cultures, it's even different. You know, just the different expectations and how you kind of speak to the people above you in the hierarchy and that kind of thing. So, I mean, typically in Asia, it's a little bit more of like, you kind of do what you're told and just follow along. And then in Europe, it's a bit more collaborative and they ask for your feedback and opinions and that kind of thing. But yeah, it's definitely about communication and I guess building that over time and earning that trust and respect that comes with the coach, you know, giving you good programs and drills and you feeling like you're getting those improvements and all that kind of stuff. What do you think?
I definitely agree. I think we've experienced both the Asian and the European trainings, and there's benefits to both, you know, because sometimes when you just train like poo house, like you just need someone to tell you do this, you know, like you, that's definitely valuable. And there's also like the opposite end where it could be really bad if it's just the player dictating everything, like that's not good. So there definitely has to be a balance. And like you said, to create that balance, I need to have a huge trust, because can you imagine just walking to training and you don't trust this person and they tell you what to do? There's no way you're going to see value in the instructions they give you. You know, like, why the heck am I doing this? I can just imagine like some pleb, you'd think they were a pleb and then they try and give you instructions. And that's when you're like, who do you think you are? What do you think you're telling me what to do? So like I said, it's really important to like respect the coach and trust them, because being criticized on your technique, on how you play badminton, can get like a lot of people can take it very personally. And if you don't respect them, you'll just feel attacked and you won't take it with you. So,
yeah. So I think it's a balance of being able to take their feedback and the things they're telling you and know that they want the best for you as well. And then by knowing that, like, which hopefully they do, by knowing that, then feeling like they are approachable and that you can go to them and be like, oh, like, why are we doing this? Or can you help me with this? Or I'd like to work on this instead, like all that kind of stuff. And that rapport and comfortability that comes over time, but also you kind of just need to like start putting it yourself out there a little bit. And
yeah,
me and you, I mean, we have no shame in this. We'll just go up to like anyone and be like, oh, can you tell me how I can improve my game and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of other people out there who, you know, might be shy or younger or all that kind of stuff, and they might approach it in a different way. So you can always, you know, try and have a one-on-one chat with your coach outside of the session when other people aren't around, or through texting, like just send them a message being like, oh, this, like, I've been thinking about this. Could you give me some feedback on that? All that kind of stuff as well. Do you have any other tips for that?
So if you're a bit shy, you know, I think, like you said, the coaches have good intentions and they obviously want you to improve. You are their product, you know? So if you do good, they do good. So I think my number one tip would be let them know that you want feedback, because coaches can see if you don't want feedback or if you're not comfortable getting feedback. So if the player is the one that goes, oh, what do you think about this shot? Like, what, you know, like, what do you think I should do? That opens up the doors for them to give you feedback. And then it's up to you whether you want to take it in or not. And that's one of the tips. The first question would be like, can you please watch me do this shot? And I'm having trouble with it. Or what do you think is wrong? You know, like, that's just small things. You can't be like, analyze this video for me. No. This is training. Yeah. Or if you don't know what your weakness is, you could be like, what do you think is my weakness? Like, what do you think is something I can focus on? The one thing that would help change my game. But yeah. What about you? How did you start building confidence? Or were you just born that way?
Yeah, I think it just kind of came from my eagerness to improve and the fact that I was just like, oh, like I can't do this shot, or this, I keep making errors here, and I'm just, we get kind of obsessed with trying to fix it and develop that. And, you know, the coaches could see that I'm just trying to improve. So I was just like, oh, you know, can you help me for like 5 minutes after training with this shot? And I just kind of ask for help in that way initially. And I think when coaches see that eagerness, then they see the passion, and a lot of them, you know, are ex-players as well, and they understand what it's like to try and improve and get better as a player. So they usually want to help and will give you extra time and are open to giving you tips and all that kind of stuff.
Totally agree. It takes so much time. It takes so much time to build that relationship, especially if you have a new coach coming in and you're just acquaintances, you know? So it's not like you're going to trust that person straight away unless you're just like mad.
It's like right now, we have Nicholas, a Danish coach here, who's only here for like 2 or 3 months leading up to the Commonwealth Games. So none of us has worked with him before. So, you know, he's coming in with his own programs and we have trust in him because he is a super highly ranked player previously in mixed doubles. And he obviously comes from the Danish system where they have like great coaching programs and education, and the players are pretty educated on like how to coach and that kind of thing. But it also, takes time for the players in our group to feel comfortable approaching him and questioning things and that kind of thing. But he's pretty good in that he'll explain the drills in detail, explain especially how they want, how to feed them as well, which is something that some of the other coaches might not do as much, and the players will just go in, and that's where kind of issues arise from the working players getting frustrated with how it's being fed, or the feeders just, you know, winning every point, all that kind of stuff. And then he reflects on the session and asks us what we think and if we think we can be better, or like if we, like the other day he was saying, oh, you know, the second part of the session was good, but the start was bad because you guys weren't warmed up and switched on straight away. So we need to make sure we make the most of all the training and that kind of stuff. So having that feedback and, you know, us trusting him and him trusting that we can take that feedback and not be like, oh, I was warm and I was trying my best, and who are you to say that like it was way worse at the start kind of thing. And yeah, it just kind of builds from there.
Yeah. Leading on to that point, Rekha, she actually comes up with a lot of new exercises, and obviously new exercises, it's a hit or miss, you know, like you don't know whether it's going to go well or it's not going to go well at all. So she does tell us like, look, I have a new exercise we're going to do today. And she genuinely goes, I don't know if it's going to work, but we're going to try it. And then after it, we like maybe for the first two rounds, or even if it's just like the first rally, if it's not working, it's not working. And she really values what we think of the exercise. It's not like we push through for the 2 hours that she gives us and like, it's not working. Yeah. We genuinely change it. And then when she can see that it's not working, she's like, okay, what can we change? How do we make this better? So I love how collaborative it is, and because like she understands that not everything's perfect. And yeah, it's really good to know that she also respects our opinions. And like you said, we really built a good relationship with Rekha, I reckon.
All right. So let's move on to another obviously crucial relationship within training, is if you're a doubles player and how you integrate with your partners and starting a new partnership and all that kind of stuff. So you can tune out now if you're a singles player, maybe. Doubles players, stay here, stay with us. So yeah, maybe I'll start, because I just started with two new partners and it's kind of a big change with me. I was with my previous partners for a few years. And
You mean like years?
Yeah. So women's doubles Setiana I was with for at least 5 to 6 years. And then the mixed doubles must have been from 2019. So about 2 to 3 years. And it's also quite different. My new women's doubles partnership, and the mixed doubles actually, is that now I'm the more experienced player and I kind of have to take on that role in a way, especially with the women's doubles where she's quite younger. So, you know, trying to set the intensity for drills, the quality of things, and just like even in a match, like tactically being like, oh, you know, they might try this now because it's at this score line, and just all the general travel experience that I have in general. And that's actually been quite challenging because like it's all new to me as well. And I'm used to more so being on a 50-50 kind of playing field with my partner and, you know, having more time to think about myself and like my thoughts and feelings and stuff. But having a partner that's younger, I have to think, you know, if I'm not talking to her in a certain way, she might be thinking that I'm thinking. that I'm like frustrated with her making errors or whatever. Meanwhile, I'm just like quietly thinking, oh, you know, what can we do next? Or how do we solve this? So it's a whole different kind of type of communication.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that because I'm so used to specializing in mix. I'm so used to like asking my partner, what do you think we should do next? Because they have a bigger view of the court. Like even though I'm at the front, like everything happens so damn fast. So I'm just like, what do you want me to do? So when I, like you, I also have a new partner. He's coming out of junior. So he's got this whole like fast everything kind of mentality, but doesn't quite work in, doesn't quite work in the seniors because everyone tends to have better defense and they just understand the game a bit better. So once everything is like fast, 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 it's just, it crumbles pretty quick. So I think having to tell him like, look, we have to change the pace now and things like that. It was so weird for me because I was so used to like my partners telling me what to do. And now I'm like in that role like you, but I'm not as good as you. So I still ask him like, so what do we do? No, but it's been pretty good because I feel like we're developing together. And actually almost after every game or training, we always talk to each other like, look, I thought this worked well, but this one was pretty shit house, so we're not going to do that again. So like the transparency, I think. And it's so important. It's so important. And also like with the partnerships, it's really good to work with the coach because what we think might not be what the coach sees. Like we could be in a very small bubble and it's not actually what the coach sees. So is that what you do too with your partnerships?
Yeah, I think it's super helpful to get the coach involved and they kind of have that neutrality as well, where they can just come from an outside perspective and say, oh, like you need to do this more and like you need to bring up your intensity up to this one's level and all that kind of stuff. I think especially a bit in the position I'm in as the older mentory one, then I can get a little bit like too far into that coach side where I'm like saying a bit too much. So then it's good to bring the coach in and be like, oh, you know, like what do you think, so that it's not that. So it's not me just like being bossy in a way. Like that's what I don't like to be so much. But then if I'm too passive and quiet, then they're like, oh, you need to like help her more and that kind of stuff. So it's finding that balance. And I think, yeah, trying to both contribute. So especially if you have a partner who is younger and shyer, trying to ask them, oh, you know, what do you think? Or what do you think's working kind of stuff as well. Like I might say what I think first and then I can be like, oh, do you have any feedback or what do you think? All that kind of stuff to also get them thinking for themselves and also just, you know, interacting and seeing what they feel.
I've been really lucky that like my partner talks a lot. So shout out to him. But I did have a partner before. It was so funny. Like I talk a lot, right? I talk a lot. And this guy would not talk as much as me, probably like half. So whenever we have meetings with the coach would like ask us, so what do you guys think? I make the conscious effort to not say what I think first, because I know once I say something, this guy's going to copy what I said. So I'm like, so what do you think?
Yeah.
But it's so important. So I think the biggest thing to make the doubles partnership work is for both ends to say something. Yeah. Because what I think could be completely wrong to what you see, especially if like one's a front court player and one's a rear court player, like it's very different.
I think like when you think of all the people out there in the world, there's so many different personality types and you're not always going to fit perfectly. I mean, was it that Thai pair that had that full on fight that went viral and they were playing against each other in that Canada Open, but they were ex-partners or something. And
this is the guy that got black carded.
Yeah. He smacked him on the ear with the racket. So, I mean, you're not going to always get along with your partners, but I think the foundation of it is that you both want to be the best players you can be. You want to achieve the best results you can be. So I think as long as you have that common goal, then within that, you have like further agreements from that being like, okay, we're always going to give our best at training. We're going to, you know, eat well and recover well and do all the things that are part of being an elite athlete. And all those kinds of things help build the partnership and the relationship together over time. But you can't always expect to be best friends. And sometimes it's purely like an on-court relationship and you don't have to hang out outside of that and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes a bit too much. Like speaking of relationships, I struggled to play mixed with my boyfriend. And that was like, even just training with him was tough at the time, like from the beginning. I think it's better now, but yeah, it definitely takes a different kind of like connection. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, it does. I mean, when you're traveling, like for us, if we travel with small groups, typically it's helpful if you get along because you spend so much time with them outside of the court. But in the big, you know, national training centers where they travel with like 10, 20 people, you usually have other friends and stuff to hang out. Yeah. So you can have your own little groups. But again, sometimes it's great to bring in a coach in when you, if you are having issues, and just making sure that you're like aligned with what you want to achieve and the things that you need to agree on to get the best result.
Yeah. And I think we should like highlight that you don't have to be best friends with your partner. Like if you have, if you share the same goal on court, great. That's it. Like it can't stop there. And then you have a mental break.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like you said, everybody's personalities is different. So should we summarize what we have talked about today? Because we can talk about communication all day.
Yeah.
All right. So I think the first summary point that we talked about today is that, you know, building the coaching relationship definitely takes time. It takes a lot of respect and trust to be able to build that. So, and both those trust and respect needs to be earned. So it's a work in progress from both ends.
Yeah. The second point is that hopefully your coach and you know that your coach wants the best for you, and to kind of have the bravery and voice to speak up and voice any concerns or questions that you have. And a good coach should listen to you.
And we talked about partners and that communication is key. And like I said before, you don't have to be best friends, but you definitely have to have goals aligned. Otherwise, it just won't work. You know, like, what are you working on?
Yeah. And with all these points, you need to know that putting time and effort into these relationships can make training a whole lot more enjoyable and productive and just improve the longevity and the product that you're going to get out of your training and as a badminton player.
Exactly. Because if you hate your time on court, then why are you on court?
Exactly. We're all doing this because we love badminton and we want to be better players.
Exactly.
So and your coach should want that for you too.
Yeah. For sure. Otherwise, you're paying them for nothing.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So do we have a challenge for this episode or are we winging it?
Let's give a challenge. So this week, our challenge can be that if you do have something at training, whether between your coach or partner that you want to address, or that maybe there's been like an underlying thing that's kind of frustrating you, eating away, is to really try your best to address this. So bring it up with whoever it is, shoot them a message, or, you know, ask for a one-on-one with them and let us know how that goes. And
you can even tell them if they smell, you know, like that's another feedback.
I mean, yeah, if it's really bothering you, you can just like slip them some deodorant, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Here's a candle. Some deodorant.
Pretty much.
But yeah, let us know how that goes in the comments and share with us. Thank you for listening to the Badminton Lights Out by the Badminton Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Don't forget to like, comment, and share this episode, available on all platforms. Follow us on Instagram. The handle is @TheBadmintonPodcast, no spaces, and Badminton Lights Out, no spaces.
Stay tuned for our next episode.
Peace.
Bye.